Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 112. Eric Tuck, you are running for city councilor in Ward 4. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you, Joey. It's a pleasure to be here.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been a longtime resident, lifelong resident of Hamilton. I'm a father, a grandfather, and a proud HSR bus operator, as well as the president of Local 107.
Why are you running?
I'm running first and foremost to make a better city for my children and my grandchildren. The city's been good to me, and I'd like to give back. I've always been the type of person that likes to give back to the community, and I think this is a good opportunity with my knowledge and experience to do that.
Do you live in Ward 4, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Myself, I think it's important. I think it's important that you know the flavor of the community, that you have first-hand experience in that community, and knowing what the issues and the problems are.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
So I've been very involved in my community. You know, since moving into Ward 4 almost 40 years ago, my children were very young, and I got involved in the community school there, Parkdale School, through the Doors of Friendship Community School, which was a parent-initiated project where we ran after-school programs for the youth in the area, offering free karate, dance lessons, piano lessons. So I started out volunteering there. I was also, prior to moving into the Parkdale area, I was on the board of directors of Green Hill Housing Co-op. There I served as president for about 7 years on the board of directors there. I've had a lot of opportunity to be involved and be engaged in the community and think that I've contributed over the years.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 4 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
You know, I've been out there knocking on doors. I'm trying to get to every door during the election. One of the primary things that I've been hearing at the doors is the need for safe streets. I've heard from so many residents that cars are speeding up and down the side streets. We've lowered the speed limits on many of the main streets, such as Kenilworth, but a lot of cars now are taking the side streets and they're speeding up and down. So I think that's one of the major initiatives that has to be implemented right away, as well as better roads. As you know, Ward 4 is home to one of the worst streets in Canada. Barton Street was voted. And it's not something I wear proudly. I think we can do better, and I certainly intend to make that a priority. Citywide, I would say one of the biggest priorities is the LRT and inclusionary zoning. They go hand in hand, as well as affordable housing. And I think all three are actually tied together. If you bring in inclusionary zoning in and around the LRT, that will help us to fund affordable housing.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 4 on Hamilton City Council?
So as many people may know, I have for years been a very strong negotiator representing the interests of transit workers. That has given me some very good negotiation skills, and with the upcoming LRT and the $3.4 billion that we're going to be investing there, I think it's important that we have a good negotiator at the table to negotiate an MOU that's going to ensure that we get some kind of tangible returns on our investment there. I also would say as an advocate, I've been an advocate for many years, fighting for others and fighting for what's right. And having the ability to fight for my residents and my constituents, what they want, I think is an important thing. Also, my skill as a team player. I have served on many boards, committees, and community councils. And the ability to bring people together, reach consensus, and to move forward, I think is a strong skill.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council deems confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
So first off, let me say how important transparency is to me. You know, honesty and transparency, I think, go hand in hand. openness. So for me, it's very simple. You need to know the law. You need to respect people's privacy rights. I know when you're discussing matters regarding discipline of staff, that type of thing, that's important to keep that private, or people's medical records, that's important to keep it private. But when it comes to things that affect people and are going to harm people, then I think we have to be very open and transparent about that. Trust is something that you aren't just given. You have to earn that. And one of the things I do is trust my intuition. You know, if something smells bad and doesn't seem right, you know it's wrong, and you have to be open and transparent about it.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
You know, again, this goes back to trust and transparency. Obviously, mistakes have been made in the past. That's how we got into this mess. We're paying anywhere from $18 million to $28 million for this inquiry. I would certainly think that after paying that kind of money, we would openly share those findings and follow any recommendations that are given.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will be during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Somebody with experience in knowing how that you have to be aware of things when you're mapping out your route to get where you're going as a transit operator, I think it's very important that we have very clear, open communications with the residents. We do a lot of consultation in advance, as well as advanced planning, and we have to do it in stages. We have to make sure that it's done section by section, and the people that are going to be made aware of it, especially the businesses that are now trying to recover from the pandemic, they're just barely getting back on their feet. I think it's important that we make sure that people can get to their doorsteps and to their storefronts to bring the business and help them with a proper recovery. Definitely a lot of consultation and open planning so that people know and are aware.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or...
So, you know, as a grandfather, I've taken my kids many times down to the Steam Museum. And as a bus driver, I often stop at many of the great sandwich shops in that area, Buddy Subs, as well as, Glow Variety. I'm a bit of a foodie. We've got some great restaurants as well that a lot of people don't realize.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located, the type of housing and businesses which are permitted. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 4 which you, former City of... What is your vision for residential zoning?
When it comes to zoning, Joey, we have a housing crisis in the city. And especially in Ward 4, we have people living in tents and parks, and a lot of people living in the streets. So we have to update that inclusionary zoning with that in mind. The ability to bring in inclusionary zoning so that we can help fund some affordable housing, as well as alternative housing, such as tiny homes. You know, residents in East Hamilton, a lot of them are built on large lots, where alternative housing, such as tiny housing, or possibility of co-housing, these are things that need to be considered to help us address some of this housing shortage that we have, especially affordable housing.
There are active planning applications within Ward 4 with differing views regarding if they represent appropriate intensification or not. Secondary dwelling units and the proposed redevelopment of the Delta Secondary School property are two examples of this. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
Yeah, this is always a difficult balance, as you can imagine. But as we said previously, the housing shortage in the city is very serious. But at the same time, having knocked on doors down in the Bartonville area, talked to a lot of residents, this is a very serious concern. My understanding from speaking with them is that there's a large development planned, possibly four large condo buildings being placed on that postage stamp piece of property. And some of the concerns there are the impact that that's going to have on those area residents who've lived there for many of them a long time, going to impede their view of the sunlight coming in. And there's also concern about the aged infrastructure. Does it have the ability to handle that kind of capacity? But again, it's a great opportunity for inclusionary zoning. So we really have to find that balance between the two, and that's going to be done through consultation with the community. It really has to, you know, you have to find that happy middle ground.
There are four LRT stops planned within Ward 4. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit areas and how will you implement that?
So certainly one of my visions, having worked in transit and seen transit around the world, actually, you know, across North America, transit hubs are people hubs. They have to be people friendly. They have to be green spaces. They have to be accessible. And they have to accommodate the commerce that comes with that. You know, when you have large people getting on and off a transit system, they're also looking to buy a coffee or buy things. So those, I think, four things are very important with any transit hub, as well as the building and development that comes around it.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 4. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
Yeah, so first and foremost, as I said previously, this has come up at so many doors and it needs to be addressed. So the immediate implementation of the Safe Streets recommendations would be number one on my list. I would also look at enforcement measures, coming up with a mobile speed radar cameras that can be moved around to areas where we are experiencing problems with speeding automobiles up and down side streets, as well as some kind of a blitz for distracted driving. Working in transit, driving a bus, I've looked down so many times, seen people distracted in their driving, either with texting or reading or doing something that really does take away from their attention. And we've had some very serious accidents more recently that have resulted actually in fatalities. So this is something that we need to start doing more enforcement.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trait and apply it to being a city councilor. There isn't even 10,000 hours between the election and being sworn in. One cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council. How will you gain the necessary informed decisions? What reading will you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people you seek advice from?
So obviously, when you're in a position to be making important decisions, one of the first things that you need to do is read the reports that come before you and do your homework. We pay staff good money to present reports and to bring them forward to council. So definitely reading those reports and making sure that you understand them, going back and asking questions is number one. Also, you would go back to the community. I've been very fortunate to know some very good experts in the community, and I would be relying on them. And first and foremost, the constituents. Your job as a councillor is to serve their needs. So if something's coming before council, you need to consult your constituents and see what their desires are and is the recommendations going to meet their needs.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
One of the things I'd like to do is remove the area rating. It's long overdue. I think it's an important step to improve transit system. I believe Hamiltonians should have more access to all parts of Hamilton, and that access should come to all people living in Hamilton. They should be able to access every corner of the city. So that's one of them. And I would also try and better utilize our resources, both staff and equipment, as well as technology, to do a better job of maintaining our infrastructure. I don't believe we've been doing a very good job, certainly not in Ward 4, where we have one of the worst roads in the country.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Well, I think one of the things, as I've spoken to many times, is the housing crisis. And I believe that we can, through inclusionary zoning, come up with the resources to start addressing affordable housing, especially around transit and around the waterfront, as well as doing a better job of managing our environment. You know, as an East Hamilton resident, I've used my clothesline many times, put clothes out, and they've come back in black. So I think we need to do better at managing our environment, especially when it comes to air and water quality. You know, 20 billion liters going into our harbors, that can never happen again, and we need to take steps to make sure it never does.
It's 2026. The public record is writing 4-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what three words do you hope will describe council?
So for me personally, I think honesty, integrity, transformational are three words that I would like to see used to describe my term on council. If I can achieve that, then I think I've done well. As far as the council itself, got it done. You know, three words, got it done. We seem to be lacking time and time again, term after term. We can't seem to get things done. And I think those are three important words that I'd like to hear.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish?
No, other than the fact that, I put myself forward. I really care about this city. I genuinely care about the city. It's been good to me, as I said. And I would like the opportunity to serve the citizens of Ward 4 as the next councillor. And hopefully I can gain their trust and gain their votes.
And how can people be in touch with you and learn more about your platform?
Number one, you can send me an email at info@electtuckward4.ca, or you can go to the website, www.electtuckward4.ca.
This has been episode 112 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.